The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Acts chapter 27, so once the word of God will come, if you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask you to do so. Given the fact that tomorrow officially begins the Vacation Bible School week that will be had up at New Life Missionary Baptist Church, and a number of you are actually planning to attend, because that overlaps some of the activities, most notably the midweek service of prayer meeting and Bible study, we will actually forego having that here and just certainly meet up there if you so desire at New Life Missionary Baptist Church. And so on this week, we will forego having prayer meeting and Bible study here, but actually just meet right up there at New Life if you so desire. And that doesn't mean that you can't pray or won't pray or whatever the case may be. We're just saying that collectively here, we want to invite you to even collectively be a part of that effort. They're excited about not only what they're doing, they're excited about the possibility of us participating. And then even on next year in 2020, collaboratively, Pastor Rogers was here on yesterday. So we want to do something a lot more collaborative in 2020 when you think about that year. So we are so excited to be able to do that as we step back this year ourselves and to retool. But again, that'll happen. Acts chapter 27 is when once the word of God will come. I'm asking for your prayers as the Holy Spirit uses me to walk through this passage. But I'm only going to read a few select verses. Amen. And I think I wanted to make sure I had given them all of them because I know I changed it up a little bit. So I'm only going to read verses 9 through 12. I'm only going to read verses 9 through 12 on today, and I declare, if you would just be patient, that it'll all make sense to you. I'll be reading this morning from the New American Standard Bible, so that's the translation I'll be reading from. It says, when considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them and said to them, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. Because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. On today, our offering in our summer series of Christian survival training 101, intending to live. Remember, this is our decision making. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow's not promised. All we have is now going forward. So what is our intention now going forward? Struggle through your last night, struggle through your this week, but going forward. What's your aim? What's your intention? And so on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider on today our subject, biblical principles for how to be confident in crisis. My Lord, biblical principles for how to be confident in crisis. You'll find when reading and studying through the Bible that there are different kinds of storms, but there are at least three kinds of storms in life. The first storm that you'll find in the Word are those storms that we bring on ourselves. Storms that we bring on ourselves, as illustrated by Samson and his self-induced troubles. Remember, we talked about that during our passage when we talked about how to live beyond our mistakes. Amen. Biblical principles back in Judges chapter 13. A second kind of storm, however, are those storms that God allows. And there are a number of reasons why God might allow a storm. And sometimes one of the reasons might be just to remind us of who is in control. As illustrated when Jesus stilled the storm of Galilee out him back in Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 through 41. But then a third kind of storm are those storms that other people can cause. Amen. As illustrated in Acts chapter 16, if you're taking notes, illustrated when Paul and Silas were thrown into a prison. Now, the thing about that last storm, however, is when you're the innocent party in a crisis, this last kind of storm is usually one of the hardest to take. One thing you and I need to know and understand is that storms don't play favorites. Folk do. Come on, somebody. Worldly folk do. Even Christian folk play favorites. But storms don't play favorites. Christians can experience just as many storms as non-Christians. Amen. The fact of the matter is we all have problems. The Bible says in the book of Job, Job chapter 5, verse 7, this is one that a lot of people don't hang on. But Job said, he said, for man is born for trouble. He says, as sparks fly. Come on, somebody. Amen. Of course, we all know that famous statement that Job made in Job 14:1 when he said, man that is born of a woman, come on, Bible readers, is of a few days full of trouble. So the question is, if trouble's going to come, if we must deal with it, how do we deal with crisis? Question I'm asking is, how do you stay as calm as you can and maintain your confidence and even your courage in the midst of a crisis? I'm talking to somebody. Well, here we're going to take a look at the book of Acts chapter 27, because in this chapter, Sister Jenny, it deals with crisis. It's the story of Paul's journey to Rome. He was a prisoner, and he was being escorted to Rome. Part of that journey was by ship. And on their journey, they had come to the island of Crete, to a harbor called Fair Havens, which you find in verse 8. I need you to keep your Bibles open today. We're going to walk through it. Amen. Amen. The season for sailing was past. The weather was changing. Paul then gave his opinion on whether or not they should continue on their journey or, once this, stay where they were, if just for a little while. Thus was the portion of scripture that we read in verses 9 through 12. In that passage, in quick summary, he says, men, he says, I don't think it's a good idea to sail right now. As a matter of fact, Keeling, he said, I think it's dangerous to sail. He said, you could lose your cargo. As a matter of fact, we could lose our lives. But as you all know, as the Bible says, they decided to sail anyway. In other words, Sister Comfort, a bad decision was made. Anybody know anything about bad decisions? Come on, somebody. And I think there are a lot of reasons why folk make bad decisions, from the pulpit to the door. But there are three common reasons why I think people make bad decisions. It happened over 2,000 years ago, and I believe it happens today. So real quickly, some reasons why people make bad decisions. A first reason why people make bad decisions is because they get bad advice from experts. Good God Almighty, help me to stand tall, Holy Ghost. Watch the text in verse 11. Verse 11 says, but the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than what was said by Paul. In other words, Deacon Griffith, the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul had said, he followed the advice given by, watch this, both the pilot and the captain of the ship. Miss Monique, the reason why we get ourselves into a mess sometimes is that we listen to the wrong so-called experts. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there are a whole lot of crazy ideas and crazy people, come on somebody, out there in the world. It seems that everybody has a wants to give you advice. And according to them, it's always good advice. Come on, somebody. It takes a whole lot of wisdom, however, sort through all of that stuff. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 4:13. It's not going to be up there. Hear it from the Message translation. It says, hold tight to good advice. Don't relax your grip. Guard it well. Your life is at stake. Good advice is godly advice. As a matter of fact, do me a favor and tell your neighbor and say, neighbor, consider the source of your advice. Second reason why people can and do make bad decisions is that they have wrong perceptions of the circumstances. Can I stand tall in this house? I said they got wrong perceptions of the circumstances, Brother John. Those who were with Paul, watch the text. They looked at the circumstances. How do I know? Look at verse 12. The Bible says, because the harbor was not suitable for wintering. They didn't consider it. They did not consider it a good place for them to stay in. But watch this. This is why I need you to have your Bible open. Look at verse 13. Look at what verse 13 says. Now, I'm going to read it from the NASB. It says, when a moderate south wind came up. Come on, somebody. Supposing that they had attained their purpose. Teach in this house, Holy Ghost. It says they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete close inshore. Now, notice what the Bible says. Can I teach it? Look what the Bible says in verse 13. It says there was a moderate south wind. The message says that it was a gentle southerly breeze. Good God Almighty, that came up. My God. I mean, now y'all think about that. Some of y'all just got back from cruises. Some of y'all getting ready to go on one. What would be better? What would be nicer than a Mediterranean cruise with a southerly wind blowing? Huh? Come on, somebody. What? I'm in the text. In other words, the sailors thought that they had obtained what they wanted because the circumstances looked favorable. Let me ask you a question. For those of us who are in Ohio, how many of you have seen the weather change on a dime, huh? Can be calm in the morning and be tornadoes blowing in the afternoon. The point is, I'm trying to make is this, my brothers and my sisters, that it is foolish to ignore what God has said, even if the circumstances, come on somebody, tend to contradict it. Things may look good right now, but you could be sailing right into a storm. Heard people say, Brother Moore, well, I mean, this decision must be okay because I feel so good about it. Watch out now. Woo, what? If loving you is, come on somebody, y'all know the song. He fanning his mama. Let me ask you, huh? Don't your feelings change? Feelings can change faster than the weather. I'm just simply trying to tell somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to or what I'm talking about, but if God says wait in the harbor, huh? Then you'd better wait till behind in the harbor. It should not matter what the circumstances say. I'm going to move on. Third reason why some folk can make bad decisions is because they follow the crowd. Again, I'm in the text. Look at verse 12. It says, because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, comma. My passage says, the majority reached the decision to put out to sea from there. Fact of the matter is that most often, the majority is often wrong. Come on, somebody. Do you remember what happened to Moses when he first started out with the children of Israel? Huh? The majority wanted to go back to Egypt, but they were wrong. That's right. We can get ourselves into a real hot mess by following the prevailing theory, following the prevailing options. Got to be careful trying to follow the most popular ideas. But not only can we and do we make wrong decisions, when we've made wrong decisions, then we make wrong moves. Woo, good God Almighty. So we done made a wrong or a bad decision. Now we're trying to make the wrong moves. So what are some wrong moves that can be made in a crisis? Because when you are caught in a crisis, I'm talking to somebody. When we are caught in a crisis, typically, humanistically, we do a couple of different things. And there are three things I'm going to highlight here from the text, three things that the sailors did. And I believe three things that we still do today, because their reactions are typical for people who are under pressure. First thing I want to show you from the text is the word driven. Now, I need you to have your Bibles open. I couldn't have them put all these notes up. I'd have been all day trying to dictate to these folk. So I need you to just have your Bible open. Watch this. Watch the text. In verse 15, it says, when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. Boy, the first things that storms tend to do in our lives is we get pushed around. We forget where we're headed. We let go of our goals. We forget the values, and we begin to become driven by the crisis. Now, they didn't have compasses, keep it in the text, Brown. They didn't have compasses in those days. And because the stars were completely obscured by the storm, the sailors were actually in total darkness. They were being driven by the storm, and they didn't know where they were headed. Listen, when you're in a dark situation and you can't see the stars and don't have a compass, the question is, what do you do? A lot of folk, they let the crisis drive them. You just let the waves beat you back and forth. Amen. Because of these strong currents in your life, people have a tendency to use phrases like, what's the use? Tried everything. What's the use? Why fight it? I'll just go with the flow. But that's not all. Not only is it driven, the next thing I want to show you from the text is discarding. I'm talking to somebody. It's going to make sense in a minute. We're driven in the midst, but then we're discarding. What are you saying, Pastor King? It's in verses 18 and 19. It's in your text. It says, the next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Okay? So when a crisis comes into your life, from the pulpit to the door now, first, we are driven by the crisis, but then we start discarding things, start throwing stuff away from our lives. So with the sailors, it was first the cargo. Then it was, Sister Graham, the ship's tackle. But then later on, if you look at your Bible in verse 38, it was the grain. And then finally, in verses 43 and 44, it was themselves. they jumped overboard and started to try to swim to the shore. The point I'm trying to make is this. Often when we get in a crisis of life, we're tempted to throw out the very things that we need or that are important to us. Talking about some values that we hung on to, that got us to certain points of life. We throw all that stuff right out the window. Have a tendency to just throw everything out. Why? Because we are under pressure and we want to get rid of not just the good things, not just the bad things, but it's everything, including some good things. Fortunately, when you're in the middle of a crisis, you get impulsive. Give up on our dreams, our hopes, our desires. We run out on our relationships. We throw away values, those very things that we were taught as children. But wait a minute, that's still not all. One more thing I want to show you from the text. I'm talking about something we do while we're in the middle of a crisis. It's called despairing. Driven, discarding, and despairing. Again, it's right here in the text in chapter 27, verse 20. It says, since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. I'm in the Word of God. In an extreme crisis, we get to a point of despair, and for a lot of folk, they give up all hope. The last thing we throw out when we've got to a problem is your hope. It's your hope. And when you've thrown that away, we have reached the bottom of the barrel. Sailors were 14 days, according to the Word of God, in total darkness in a ship in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. They had been bashed back and forth by the storm until they had threw everything out and given up on all hope. I don't know who I'm talking to, but perhaps I'm talking to somebody right now under the sound of my voice. You've been going through a problem yesterday, this week, a few weeks, a few months, this year, for a few years. And it's been batting you back and forth. You've come to a point of despair. And for somebody, you're saying, what's the use? And if it's not you, you've probably been sent to minister to somebody who is saying, where's my hope? Why should I do this? Or why should I do that? The situation I'm in feels and seems impossible. But whether I'm talking to you or the Lord sends you to talk to somebody else, you need to know that's not the end of the story. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, as long as you breathe, then there's hope. And not only that, there is hope in this story, and there's hope because Paul was there and there was still God. Yeah. So what are some biblical principles for how you and I can be confident in a crisis? See, one of the amazing things that I want us to see and that the Holy Spirit showed me about this story is Paul's reaction. You see, Miss Loretta, Paul's reaction was totally different than the sailor's reaction. He had a different attitude than the sailors. Sometimes folk look at you, they look at me, they look at us, and it's not that we don't have problems. We got a different attitude about the problems. See, sometimes when we pray, it's not, Lord, change my circumstances. They may not change. Change me in the midst of. It might not change right away, but I need you to change me. That's why tomorrow's Monday. You can go back to that job that you fussed and cussed about. I know. On Friday, you was this close to telling them to take this job. And for somebody else, it's your relationship, whether marriage or whatever it is, and you about was right there. There's some family members, husband, wife, son, daughter, grandchild, granddaughter, whatever, can get on that last. Huh? Grandma used to call that foot nerve. Huh? When you get on that one, look at Thompson. He heard it. When you get on that one, the sailors are down and discouraged. They are at the end of their rope. To them, everything looks hopeless. But Paul, somehow, some way, he's calm and confident. Now, don't mistake what I'm going to teach here. It's not about having a Botox smile. Now, we don't need to walk around. That ain't what this is about. It's about your attitude. It's about your demeanor. It's about your joy when stuff is not happening right and you're not happy, but you still got joy. Huh? So he's calm and confident. As a matter of fact, he has courage in his crisis. The sailors' reactions were natural responses to crisis. So be careful being hard on folk that act natural in a crisis, huh? People cry, people get upset, people get angry. We just taught it, they get impulsive. They say and they do some silly and foolish stuff. They even have the nerve to want to reject you. And all you trying to do is help them, but they're being impulsive. That's natural. Paul's reaction was super natural. He knows where he is, but he also knows where God is too. See that? Did you see that? He knows where he is. See, this ain't about being foolish. You know, you got folk, let me just come off the page for a minute. You got some folk, they become so super spiritual. That this is the cold and flu season and allergy season. So you got folk hacking and coughing and sneezing and snorting, and you looking at them and you say, well, do you have a cold? And they say, don't you claim that. Don't you speak that on me. I don't need to speak nothing, but here's the Kleenex. Blow your runny nose. Here's a Zyrtec. I don't need to speak nothing. Huh? You speak that over me. I ain't got no, I don't know. Paul knew where he was. I'm on a messed up ship. But he knew where God was too. Our test. As Christians, of course, that's where our testimonies come from, amen. See, our test of our Christianity is how we handle our crisis. Hear me when I say this. Hear me. Anybody, you've heard me say this before. Anybody can call themselves Christians when things are going great. But what happens when things are going not so great, or when things are going bad, when things are falling apart, when crisis meets you head on? Are you able to cling to Christ in the times of your crisis? You've heard it said before, and I'll say it again, the problems are testing of our faith. When the problems come, too many folk tempted to despair and they drift. And that's why some folk, even when it comes to falling away, when it comes to church attendance, some of that is just drifting. Be careful. Don't be so hard on folk. Don't be so judgmental. You don't know what folk are going through. Even the folk that I hear, I told you, I said it before, you don't know what it took just for somebody to get to church today. And I don't care how dressed up and how made up we look. We all got something that we are dealing with even right now. But I need to say something that might mess with some of your understanding and your teaching. Here it is. Let me just say this. I don't know if I've told him to put this up, so you might have to write this down. Listen, character is revealed in a crisis. It's not made in a crisis. See, some folk think, Jemiah, some folk think that trouble and crisis is character building. No, it's character revealing. Amen. No. Character is made day by day. That's just life. That you are building on your character day by day. That's the day-to-day routines of life. But you best believe that your character is going to be revealed when you get in a shipwreck. Shipwreck financially, a shipwreck in your health, a shipwreck in your relationship, a shipwreck in your ministry. That's when the real so-and-so, please stand up. It's when that situation threatens to swallow you up. So what should you do when it looks like things are falling apart? Ships falling apart right under your feet. What should you do when you feel like life is just battering you around? Look what the sailors did. Woo, Jesus, I'm going to finish this thing. Look what the sailors did. It's right in your text. You can't close your Bible. Listen, it's in your text. Look at verse 29. It says, fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks. It says they cast four anchors. Good God Almighty. They cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. The safest thing that you can do when a storm comes in your life. Do me a favor and tell your neighbor and say, neighbor, drop your anchors. Good God Almighty. Woo, Jesus. Woo. When a storm is coming in your life, you need to drop your anchors. Situations change. Circumstances change. Crises come and they go. And when they do, you need to put your anchors down. Good God Almighty. Psalm 125:1 says, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Often when people encounter a major problem that they want to change, listen, when people encounter problems, Sister Graham, think about this. I know you teach this in some of the stuff that you do. When people encounter problems, what they want to do is they want to start changing everything in their lives. They're uncomfortable where they are, so they want to move. Teach, Holy Ghost. Nobody, I understand, nobody wants to stay uncomfortable in a situation. But when a crisis comes, it usually comes with change. So it's not a good idea to add more change to the change that's already come. What they need to do for somebody, if it's not you, it's somebody the Lord wants you to minister to. They need to put some anchors down and get some stability in their lives. Why was Paul able to stay confident? Because he remembered four things. I had to come up with some things because the Bible says they had four anchors. And they're four. There are four fundamental principles that all of us should remember in a crisis as I get ready to close. And the first one is we need to remember, one of your anchors is remember God's presence. The first anchor in crisis is the presence of the Almighty God. In the midst of the storm, the Bible says right there in your text, Paul says, I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. The Bible says, for this very night, an angel of the Lord, of God, to whom I belong, and whom I serve stood before me. Good God Almighty. Somebody is watching you go through whatever you're going through. And they're trying to understand, how can I go through what I'm going through? And they can go through what they're going through because you can remind them that God is there. Listen, listen, listen. The storms of life don't keep God away from your door. We might not see God, but guess what? God sees you. No matter what your situation is, whatever you're going through right now, God is the anchor, come on somebody, that you can fully trust. The second thing I want to show you is that not only is God present, but you need to remember God's purpose. The second anchor found in the text says in verse 24 that the angel told Paul, he says, do not be afraid. Paul, he said, you must stand before Caesar. In other words, God had told Paul, he said, listen here, Paul, I've got a plan for your life. And my plan is that you will go to Rome. Come on, somebody. My plan is that you will preach to Caesar. You're going to preach in Caesar's court. I've got a purpose for your life. And it is greater than any temporary storm that you might be going through. Every Christian needs to feel a sense of destiny. Storms may come and storms may go, but God has a purpose for your life and mine. Absolutely nothing can change God's ultimate purpose for your life. But I need to tell you something here. Nothing can change God's purpose for your life, but he leaves his purpose for your life up to you. Amen. If you reject his plan, he will allow you to do that. But the Bible says no matter what happens on the outside, there are no forces that can change God's purpose for your life. How do I know, Deke? Because the people, the children of Israel, they made a choice. God's purpose was that they would go to the promised land. The majority made a decision to go back to Egypt. He let them make that decision. But his plan was, my people are going to be delivered. And so the Bible says he just took those who were faithful, come on somebody, into the promised land. He took a whole nother generation because he said, my purposes will be fulfilled. Amen. The purpose of God is greater than any situation you might be in right now. God has a plan beyond your problems. So you go ahead and praise God. But the third thing I want to show you as an anchor is you remember God's promise. Amen. The third anchor in the text is right there. Verse 25, it says, therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. The third anchor is you're going to have to relearn to remember God's promises in your life. Listen, storms can distract us, but God is always there, and God will always keep his promises. Some of you are going through a crisis right now. Your problems seem overwhelming. You think you're going down and you think you're going to drown. But let me say this, God knows exactly where you are, what your circumstance is, and he is watching over you. You might even get wet in your problems, but you need to know you can and you will make it. Amen. Why? Because God has made a promise to you. Last anchor, and I'm going to take my seat, that I want you to remember here is you need to remember to pray. What should we do while we're waiting for God to fulfill his promises? You pray. You talk to God. And you tell him your thoughts And you tell him your feelings. You tell him your fears. But you also tell him, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. The storms of life are going to come. But they can't keep you from talking to God. They're going to come. But they can't keep you from talking to God. You might be going through some difficult times and some struggles right now. But God has a purpose for your life. And the reason I know is because you're still here. I'm still here. We are still here. Despite the devil's best efforts. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's through with us. But neither is God. Huh? You've heard me say this before, and I say it again. The hounds of hell are going to follow you on nip you at your heels all the way to heaven's gate. And when you get to the other side and you look back on your life, I believe you're going to see some slob on the gate from the hounds of hell. But just like the hounds of hell that are following you, my Bible says that grace and mercy, come on, somebody. Shall follow me. Oh, come on, somebody. I got any Bible readers in here? All the days of my life. And that text says, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Says, I shall. I don't care what you're going through. You keep your I shall. I shall come out of this. I shall come through. I shall not be moved. I shall not forget what God has already done for me. I shall not forget God's promises. Hallelujah. Thank you. I don't know the reason that you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with. But I know this. There is a reason for it all. And I believe that you're going to make it through safely to land. And I believe you're going to make it safely eventually home. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.